Today's Torah portion, Parshat Truma, contribution. Today we will read one of the most detailed Torah portions about the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle of Moses. I believe this is one of the most detailed scriptures in the Torah that speaks of building the Kehillah, the congregation of believers. First of all, we need to remember that the Lord called us into His kingdom not to be spectators, not to be people outside of the field of action, but to be part of His work on this earth. Let us look at the history. During the Middle Ages, the theologians developed a theory regarding two kinds of believers, the priesthood and the parishioners or visitors. They divided all believers into those who have a connection with God, who know His will, and have the right to serve Him, and those who do not know anything and cannot communicate with God directly without the help of the priesthood. But according to the scriptures, Yeshua established a new priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We need to understand that each of us is a priest and servant in the eyes of the Lord. So, with this understanding, let's read the passage from the Torah, from today's Torah chapter. And I would like to remind one more time, the name of this chapter is Truma, which means contribution or offering. So let us open Exodus chapter 25, and I would like to read verse 1, 2, also verse 8, and also verse 22. This is key verses for today. So verse 1 and 2. Adonai said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to take up a collection for me. Accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. Verse 8. Have them make a sanctuary for me, so that I may dwell among them. And verse 22. I will meet with you there. I will speak with you from above the atonement cover, from between the two cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, about all that I will command you for Bnei Israel, for sons of Israel. What an exciting and instructive part of the Bible this is. So let's read it verse by verse and learn the lessons for ourselves for today. So verse 2. Tell the people of Israel. The Lord gives His commandment to bring the offerings to build Mishkan, the tent of meeting. And the essential part here is that the Lord commands do not to bring a useless and cheap offering, but the best they had to offer. The following verses 3 and 4 tell us what kind of offering they were to bring. Gold, silver, bronze, oil, fine linen. Those were expensive things with meaning and great value to the people of Israel. Please, pay attention that Adonai's instructions are very specific. Moses is to accept a contribution from anyone, in Hebrew kol ish, every man or anyone. Whether young or old, rich or poor, Jew or from the nations who left Egypt with Israelites, it does not matter to the Lord. He accepts everyone's offering. But there is one essential condition in this verse. The giver must wholeheartedly want to give. In Hebrew, two words, Nadav and Lev. Nadav means to incite, making willing to bring a sacrifice. And Lev means the heart. Wholeheartedly can also be understood as an offering of the sacrificial heart. Can you see the difference here? It was not important to the Lord how wealthy the person was and how much gold he could bring to the tent of meeting. That was not important. The most important was the sacrificial heart. The heart is the actual offering unto the Lord. The heart is the center of everything. When we correctly understand how the Lord looks on offerings to Him, then we realize that it is not about money, but our hearts, whole lives, talents, time given to the Lord, and His work of saving people on this earth. Then we can understand the story of the poor widow who brought an offering to the temple. Let us open Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through verse 4. It is a fascinating story. Luke 21, 1 through 4. Then Yeshua looked up and saw the rich dropping their gifts into the treasure box. He also saw a poor widow dropping two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all the rest, for all these put in their gifts from their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Imagine this picture. Yeshua is sitting at the treasury where people who came to worship put offerings and carefully counted who put and how much. I believe he had the right to do so because it was the temple built in his honor. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. In my opinion, by doing this, he showed that our offerings and tithes are important for the Lord. And he is closely watching how faithful we are. From this passage in the New Testament, we can see that many of those who brought their gifts to the temple did so in order to keep commandments, and for them it was a religious routine. And therefore, Yeshua did not judge people who came to the temple to worship, but he showed the true value of this ministry in God's eyes. The actual value is faith, trust in God, humility, and our essence dedicated to the Lord for service. Just think about it for a moment. This poor widow gave everything to support the ministry to the Lord. She put all her future into the Lord's hands. And I'm sure the Lord didn't leave her hungry. So let's go back to the chapter from the Torah. So commandment to Moses was to receive terumah offering, the best the giver can give from any of those hearts compel them to give. This passage from the scripture so blesses me because it reshapes our understanding of our ministry to the Lord, the heart of our ministry. The Lord is not a poor God in need and looking for anyone who will be merciful to him. And he is not looking for charity from anyone. He is an awesome God, the master of the universe, who creates gold and all the other riches of this world. He is rich in mercy and lavish in love. And it is our great privilege to minister to him by bringing him our hearts. Verse 8, this essence of this place. Verse 8, have them make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. This is such an interesting verse. Some people read it this way, that God commands to build a Mishkan, the tabernacle of Moses, so that the Lord can have a place to live. It looks like he doesn't have a place to live. And I know that in ancient Egypt, the common understanding was that an idol or God, with a small letter, needed to have a place to live. So it was necessary to build a place to put an image there. And in the following chapters of the Torah, we will find the story of when Aaron and the Israelites built a golden calf, an idol, and worshipped him there. We remember that the Jewish people lived in Egypt for more than 400 years, and so they were raised in Egyptian culture and Egyptian beliefs. They were convinced that the deity could be built and carried around and needed a place to live and store sacrifices for food. But let's see what the Lord says about himself. whether he needs a house or a temple in order for him to have a place to live or not. Let us open Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and verse 2. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. The Lord says about himself, "Heaven is my throne, says Adonai, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? What sort of place could you devise for my rest? Didn't I myself make all these things? This is how they all came to be, says Adonai." Our Lord is great and almighty, living in the heavens of heaven. The earth is so tiny that the Bible compares it with the footstool for the Lord. If this is so, and the Lord does not need a house to live in, then why does he command his people to build the tabernacle of Moses? The answer is in the 8th verse of the 25th chapter of Exodus. Verse 8, "Have them make a sanctuary for me, so that I may dwell among them." The Lord does not need a house. And he commands to build a tabernacle so that the Israelites can enter his presence and commune with him there. The tabernacle of Moses was needed not by the Lord, but by the Jewish people. When they built a tabernacle, they were making the holy place for themselves so that they could fellowship with the Lord. How important it is to understand that when we do the will of the Lord, when we build our place of worship, our synagogue, serve the Lord in this place, we build a place to meet with the Lord, receive answers from him, worship him, and enjoy his love. That is what we need first and foremost. I want to repeat this truth because it is essential for us to understand. Adonai commanded the people to offer what they considered to be the best, the most valuable, the most significant. The whole point was not to offer their money or possessions, but the Lord wanted them to bring their hearts, lives, time, and talents to him so he could live among them. The tent of meeting was a sacrifice of their lives. They were to build it not merely of gold, but by their own very hearts. Moses and Israelites built the tabernacle, later the temple, Beit HaMikdash, out of their sensitivity and obedience to God. And that tabernacle became the ark of their salvation. It became a holy place with a holy purpose to allow them fellowship with the Lord. I would like to continue with the verse 22. "I will meet with you there. I will speak with you from above the atonement cover, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, about all that I will command you for Bnei Israel." In this verse from the Bible, the Lord reveals the very essence of why he created his people, for which he brought them out of Egypt. It says here, "I will meet with you, I will speak with you," for fellowship, for a living relationship with humanity, for people to return to their heavenly Father. And finally, I would like to look at how we can apply the lessons of this Torah chapter today for us. The Bible teaches us that the tabernacle of Moses and the Jerusalem temple are only types, shadows of the future. Let us read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, verse 12. "But when Messiah appeared as Kohen Gadol, or high priest, of the good things that have now come, passing through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, he entered into the holiest once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The Mishkan tent of Moses gives a prophetic picture of the future, the most beautiful tabernacle in the world, made from the living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. Elsewhere in Scripture, Yeshua is to become the chief cornerstone of this future tabernacle. We are the promised temple of the Lord, and He lives in us in His Holy Spirit. The Lord Yeshua chose His bride, His Kegilah, His body, the living temple. He wants to live with us, not in the way He did in Moses' time, not in a building constructed by physical building materials, but He wants to live in our hearts, inside a temple built of living stones. The Lord wants to walk in us, live with us, do His marvelous work in us and through us. This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, we can find, "Now you together constitute the body of the Messiah, and individually you are parts of it." Now I come to the main point of my message. We are all different. We have different talents. But for sure, we all are called to be part of the living congregations made by people filled with the Holy Spirit. How important to bring all your hearts to the Lord and to be active in your faith. Do you remember what happened when Moses finished the tabernacle and brought sacrifices? Yes, the glory of the Lord fell upon Israel. What happened when Solomon built Beit HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem? Yes, the glory of the Lord came upon all the people there. It is the same for us today. We built the house of the Lord with our involvement, our time, our gifts, our hearts, our donations. And this is the place where the Lord wants to talk to us, heal us, change us. The congregation of believers is the place of expectation and faith. We are called to walk in the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I heard this phrase, an expected blessing from the Lord. Yes, of course. But often unexpected blessings follow a long time, a great preparation effort. We all come here and meet together online or in the sanctuary, and we can feel a sweet presence of the Lord. His anointing touches us sometimes so unexpectedly. But in order for you and me to worship and glorify the Lord together, a lot of work has been done in this place or online. We all brought our hearts, resources, time, and talents here so that the Lord would accept our sacrifice of praise and come to us. So thank you for your hearts and your time for your service. You are very important to the Lord and necessary to each other. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. Let us pray together. Yeverchecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yere Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.